Hi, this is Arun Venugopal, and you're listening to Midday. The Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, better known simply as ACORN, shut down their last offices in 2010. It was a national community organizing group that helped register 1.3 million voters leading up to the 2008 election. Those voters were mostly low-income, marginalized people in swing states who were credited with helping to elect President Obama. What brought down ACORN was a 20-year-old journalism student and a conservative political activist who used a hidden camera to create a big controversy. Ruben Atlas and Sam Pollard have made a documentary that looks at how ACORN tried to weather the ensuing media frenzy and its loss of funding. Ruben Atlas joins us today to discuss the film, ACORN and the Firestorm, which premieres tonight on PBS. Hi, Ruben.
Hi, how you doing?
Great. So take us back to 2008. For some people, this is a very distant memory. How did ACORN become the center of this political campaign and John McCain's attempted attack at the integrity of candidate Obama?
Well, ACORN had political enemies since its founding in the early 70s, but it really became a national word when John McCain, during the third debate against Obama, said that ACORN was tearing the fabric of democracy. And at the time, the McCain campaign was using ACORN, Reverend Wright, and Bill Ayers as a tool to, you know, something to pin to Obama's chest and say, this is a scary guy who you can't trust. And ACORN was one of those three, and it was absurd.
So what exactly did ACORN mean to supporters of John McCain?
I think for most supporters of John McCain, they didn't know anything about ACORN except what he said, which was that they were committing voter fraud on a wide scale. And, you know, every election cycle, voter fraud becomes a big word, and then it sort of fades for a couple of years from the national consciousness for the most part. And what ACORN was doing was registering tons of voters in swing states that were low income, and they were doing field registration, which is very difficult to do. And they were one of the most successful groups at doing that. And so, you know, when they're, as a tactic, they wanted to, you know, make sure that this wasn't going to be trusted and that if they lost, that this is something they could carry forward. And it's sort of a political tactic that goes, you know, from Donald Trump famously, you know, talked about it, and he doesn't anymore. You rarely hear him talking about voter fraud, right?
Right, sure. But the actual controversy about ACORN stemmed from something that wasn't about voter fraud so much as about something entirely different, right? And this is what these two people, this 20-year-old journalism student and the conservative political activist, James O'Keefe, who's become quite legendary in some circles, what were they trying to actually convey to people who watched the video that they ended up releasing?
So after the election of Barack Obama, there was ACORN sort of came out of the news for about a year. And then James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles went into ACORN offices, supposedly dressed as a fake pimp and prostitute, and tried to solicit advice about how to open, you know, get basically tax advice about how to get housing. And that video was neatly edited and started sort of innocently, but also what a lot of people don't realize is that it was the moment that put Breitbart on the map.
Right. So this was on a constant loop on Breitbart, on Fox News. What was the message of this video, which, as you mentioned, was very selectively edited? What was it conveying to viewers of those outlets?
Well, in the film ACORN and the Firestorm that we made that'll be on PBS tonight, we tried to sort of deconstruct both the historical context of ACORN and the attacks against them and sort of show what was exactly in these videos and, you know, why they attracted so much media attention. And what was it about that moment that allowed sort of a small YouTube video to deliver the last punch to 40 years of ACORN, which is a community organization that fought, you know, across, you know, fought poverty and very successfully.
So what was it that this 20-year-old journalism student who dressed up as a sex worker and her supposed pimp, played by James O'Keefe, what were they trying to, I guess, reveal to the public about what happens at Acorn.
They wanted to show that there was corruption and that they would give housing advice to anybody. And it didn't, they were, I think, they really weren't sure though. In some ways, you know, at that time, they were two young kids almost doing a prank and they didn't know what they were getting into.
You think James O'Keefe, even at that time, had that level of just naivety in terms of going in? He wasn't actually the very sort of manipulative sort of, I guess, media player that he's kind of be known as?
Well, I wouldn't say he wasn't manipulative, but it definitely was the first big sting for him. Mm-hmm. It's really what put him on the map. I mean, before he had done a sting at Rutgers University where he was in college and he went to the cafeteria in the school lunchroom and said that he was offended as an Irish person because they were using Lucky Charms,
right.
You know? And so his previous work, I mean, he did other things that were more serious, but that was really the beginning for him.
But this one, they go in to this Acorn office and they apply for some sort of housing while communicating that she is a sex worker who wants to open, I guess, a brothel. Am I right?
Yes.
And what do we know about the actual interactions between them and the Acorn officials?
It was complicated and it was different in different offices. They went to a number of offices across the country. And what we sort of show in the film is what that complication is. And so, you know, what we're attempting to do is take a viewer through that in a way that allows them to experience what happened in those offices, the way it was disseminated to the media, and through the voices of Hannah and the Acorn staff that, you know, experienced this.
So was there corruption at Acorn?
I would say compared to the good work that Acorn did, any corruption was infinitesimally small.
It was negligible. So it was blown out of proportion through this
right. Selectively
edited.
There was the one thing that, you know, is identifiable is that the founder, Wade Rathke, his brother embezzled money from Acorn. And instead of sort of making that widely known, they handled it internally, and he handled it with a small staff and had the money paid back. And so if there's any sort of, you know, corruption that was real, that was it, you know? And any other corruption, it's sort of absurd because then congressmen were all of a sudden saying that Acorn was a criminal organization. And that's really when it gets blown out of proportion.
I'm talking to filmmaker Ruben Atlas about his documentary Acorn and the Firestorm, which premieres tonight on PBS. Now, Ruben, the term community organizer became something of a punchline or even an insult in the 2008 election, at least among conservatives. And you spent some time in the documentary describing what community organizing is. What is it for people who don't understand what community organizing is?
Right. Well, so Acorn, there was a moment where Sarah Palin said, you know, Barack Obama, I'm a governor. Barack Obama is a community organizer. And it was a way for them to make fun of him or belittle his accomplishments in his career. And we all know how that turned out. And Rudy Giuliani was another one who, you know, would mock the idea of community organizing. With Acorn, what community organizing meant and how the organization was built is that you would go door, if you were an Acorn organizer, you would go door to door into a lower income community and knock on someone's door and say, is there anything in your vicinity or even broader than that, that you feel like there's a problem in the world, there's something you want to fix? It could be something at your children's school, it could be something with jobs, almost anything. And then that person would let them in, they would talk to them, they'd hear about their problems, and they would say, you know what, I was just talking to your neighbor, they have similar problems, let me bring you together. And so it was this very, or a community organizer does a very organic and, you know, super important thing where they empower people to take on their own problems. And so Acorn started out in Arkansas and did it in a small way at the beginning, and then it grew into this national organization by actually knocking on one door at a time in many ways.
So it's a very slow and very participatory process from what you actually yourself documented.
Yes.
Why did it become, I guess, associated with this seemingly criminal sort of outfit? What was it that the conservative I guess, conservatives were trying to do? Why were they trying to diminish ACORN of all organizations?
I mean, partly it was a political attack. You know, ACORN was perceived to be supporters of Democrats. And so their opponents were often Republican. ACORN would often, their tactics were very bold. One of my favorite protests that they did was they were removing school lunches from, you know, a program. And so they went in, and it was at a national Republican meeting of lawyers convention, and Karl Rove was set to speak. And it was Newt Gingrich. And they came in and they were waiting for Newt, and they came in with school lunch trays into this, you know, dinner where there were all these people eating filet mignon and talking about cutting off school lunch to the schools in DC. And so they stormed in with school lunch trays saying that they didn't want school lunches and waiting for Newt Gingrich to show up. And then they were going to, you know, basically yell at Newt. And he heard that this was going on, and he didn't show up and escaped out a side door. And then ACORN got into buses and chased him all around DC. And so you could see that was sort of the moment that a lot of people in ACORN point to as a moment when the upper echelons of Republican leadership turned and said, we got to do something about them.
So what would you say was their biggest achievement or among their biggest achievements as a community organization?
Voter registration was a huge achievement. They had an amazing voter registration program. They were way ahead of the country on protecting against predatory lending. And they were warning about the problems of predatory lending, you know, basically in the early 90s. And then after the subprime crisis, it's estimated that they helped almost 60,000 people stay in their homes or renegotiate with banks. I think that's incredible. But really, I think, you know, one of the most amazing things that ACORN was able to do as an organization was empower people who felt like they were left out of the political process and sort of left out of, you know, changing society in a fundamental way. And
some of these people were, I mean, your film opens with one of these members who he's proudly flying a Confederate flag. So it's not necessarily just people in the so-called inner cities, but it's a wide swath of America.
Absolutely. I mean, it started organizing rural farm workers. So it did gradually move into cities more and more, but it wasn't sort of a singular demographic, as their critics like to point out.
Why did you open with this one gentleman who you did with the Confederate flag?
He represented, you know, sort of the potential of ACORN, and that their philosophy really applied to anyone who was struggling against a bigger, powerful institution. And they represented, you know, this one story is of a guy who lost his home after the subprime crisis, and the bank was going to kick him out, and he had kids, and he also happened to vote Republican. And so it's a misdirect. If you think that, you know, ACORN is about this one thing, please tune in and watch this movie and decide for yourself. And this is one example of that.
So what became of ACORN? It's been several years since their last office shut down, but they've sort of manifested in multiple ways, right?
Yeah. So the ACORN diaspora is far and wide. They pop, you know, there's organizations that rebranded and opened up in, you know, almost all the states in the U.S.
And tell us a little about the two people who started this whole controversy. Hannah Giles, who portrays this sex worker. What happened to her?
Hannah eventually stepped out of the spotlight, and now she ran a journalism nonprofit for a short period of time, and then now worked on a farm most recently. So she's totally, you know, stepped out of the spot.
Disconnected. Right? And yeah. Does she have any feelings about that whole episode?
Yeah, I think she has mixed feelings. She wasn't crazy. I think the moment that she really decided that that world wasn't for her was at CPAC in 2010, and she just saw something ill in that environment.
Conservative environment.
Yeah, in the conservative media environment, and that people were assuming that she was this conservative darling and the next Sarah Palin, and she wanted to have nothing to do with that. And then James O'Keefe, you know, as a lot of people know, went on to do the same things, you know, against a lot of organizations.
been speaking to Ruben Atlas, who co-created a documentary about the organization ACORN. It's called ACORN and the Firestorm, and it premieres tonight at 10 p.m. on PBS. Thank you, Ruben.
Thank you.